Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
After a very wet morning, we're seeing a little bit of a break in the precipitation, but it is not over today. Coming up on Futurecast, I'll show you when we see the next wave.
And breaking news this noon, nearly 500,000 North Carolinians are closer than ever to having access to health insurance. In the last hour, state lawmakers announced an agreement on expanding Medicaid.
And more courtroom drama in South Carolina. The judge in the Alec Murdoch trial dismisses a juror on the morning the defense begins closing arguments.
Looks like some spotty showers across our viewing area this afternoon. A good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We started off with storms early this morning. Waves of rain will continue into tomorrow. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for today and when we could see severe weather. We did have a good bit of rain this morning, and it's nice to have a little bit of a break at this point. There are a couple of isolated showers here in parts of Johnston County and Harnett County, but you can see there's more rain back to our west. This morning, the bulk of the rain was from the Triangle area northward. This afternoon, more of it will end up being down south. We are seeing a little bit of a break right now, but from Fayetteville to Roseboro to Clinton, on up toward Goldsboro, that's where we're going to see most of the rain this afternoon. And we'll still see some around the Triangle area. And the DBAP is all ready. It's got its raincoat on there right over the baseball diamond, ready to go for whatever rain we see today and into tomorrow. This front here will continue to sink southward. That's going to bring us some rain down along the South Carolina line for this afternoon. You can see that front here moving southward. And as we get into, say, mid to late afternoon, here comes another wave of showers. We're not likely to have a lot of thunderstorms. The rain could be steady to heavy in some places as we get through the evening, especially in our southern counties. We're also looking at some rain for tomorrow. We'll likely start off in the morning with rain to the north, and then it tapers off. And our rain potential for tomorrow over the last 12 plus hours has really begun to decrease. So we're still looking at the chance of a few isolated showers. The best chance of rain will come after the evening commute around dinner time with our cold front coming through. We do still have a small chance for some severe storms tomorrow. I'll show you when we could see those coming up.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. Within the last hour, Senate Leader Phil Berger and House Speaker Tim Moore announcing an agreement on Medicaid expansion in our state. They've been negotiating on this issue for months, but Democrats have been pushing for this change for years. This would mean approximately about 500,000 North Carolinians could now be covered by health insurance. The state could receive $1.8 billion from the federal government to boost the state's budget. Take a look at what Speaker Moore had to say about this.
We're going to have a legislation, we're going to have a policy that is going to expand access to working North Carolinians, that is going to ensure that there is a more robust supply of a lot of these services, that is going to result in less cost.
Within the last 15 minutes, Governor Cooper issuing this statement that reads in part, "To expand Medicaid in North Carolina is a monumental step that will save lives, and I commend the hard work that got us here." Now, it's important to note that this would not take effect until the budget passes. Coming up at 12:30, NC Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie will join us live to talk about the budget process as it relates to this Medicaid expansion, what it means for the some 500,000 North Carolinians who would now be covered by insurance.
All right, Ken, we'll look for that. Two house fires erupted in Clayton in the early hours this morning. We start on Marcellus Way, where lightning struck a home just before sunrise. Michael Grace is in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker to show us what he learned.
Yeah, that's right. The couple told me they were getting ready to go to the gym this morning, and that's when they heard a loud boom. The husband said it sounded like some sort of an explosion. They decided to wait it out. That's when their alarm system in their home started going off. The husband then went to the hallway, smelled smoke, and realized their house had caught on fire from that lightning strike. And I want to get you to this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker of that scene this morning. They had to block off all of Marcellus Way because there is no fire hydrant out here. So they had to run a hose about a quarter mile up from the tanker at the end of the road. And you can just see, though, where that lightning hits in the attic. And it took crews just under an hour to get this fire under control. Fire marshal at the scene right now, making sure that everything is A-OK. But the husband just told me it is a bizarre scene, and it is a scene where things could have gotten a lot worse, and he's glad that wasn't the case. In Clayton, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Developing at noon, drama in the Alec Murdoch trial. The judge dismissed one of the jurors just as the defense prepared to begin its closing argument. WRAL's Brian Schrader has been monitoring developments out of the courtroom. Brian.
A member of the public reported that juror was talking about the case with people not on the jury. And Judge Clifton Newman said that they interviewed the people involved and decided to replace the juror with an alternate. And then the defense started its closing argument. Live pictures from that courtroom now in South Carolina. Murdoch attorney Jim Griffin started by telling investigators that, saying that the investigators in the case bungled the evidence. He said they didn't properly take fingerprints, DNA samples, or test hair reportedly found in Murdoch's wife's hand the night of her murder. Griffin said that once Murdoch's drug and financial problems came to light, he became an easy target for investigators.
And I hate to say this, but the evidence is crystal clear. From that moment, he started fabricating evidence against Alec.
Now, yesterday, prosecutors argued that the disgraced attorney was the only person who had the motive, means, and opportunity to kill Maggie and his son Paul back in 2021. They say he was trying to distract and delay investigations into his financial problems. Jurors could have the case this afternoon, and you can watch those closing arguments live on WRAL.com and on the WRAL News app.
Just another twist in this riveting trial. Brian, thank you.
The first weapons detection system in a Johnston County school is now up and running. The open gate system has been installed at North Johnston Middle School. It combines radio frequency sensors with artificial intelligence to screen students for things like guns and other weapons. Soon, every school in the district will be equipped with this technology. Many parents say they're on board with the added layer of security.
You don't want kids to get stuff that is not supposed to get to schools. So I believe most of it will be good.
They're your world. So, I mean, obviously, no matter what you want to do, it's their safety comes number one.
The Johnston County School System invested $6 million in this technology. Installation will happen at all 48 schools over the next few weeks.
Kids in gangs and crime at schools, how we can protect our children. That's what the Governor's Crime Commission is talking about today. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey has more on what was said in that meeting. Michelle.
Renee, the members of the Governor's Crime Commission are aware of the impact that gang violence has on communities and the influence it can have on our youth. They want to make sure our communities are as safe as possible. And a number of criminal justice leaders met virtually today to discuss how they can do just that. This is video from the last meeting. Today, U.S. Attorney Michael Easley talked about specific gangs known in North Carolina and what these gangs are asking kids to do. He says they're using social media to draw them in and using boys and girls for different things like acts of violence and drug trafficking. Easley said they're also telling them they're, quote, doing good in the community by joining a gang, making it enticing. Easley says they're reinvigorating talking about gangs to school kids. He says they need to actually go into schools and talk about these gangs and teach kids refusal skills. They also need to talk to them about the dangers of carrying guns as well. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is on this story. She'll have more coming up in our evening newscasts.
Michelle, thanks for the update.
Jobless claims dropped again last week in another good sign for the labor market. New data from the Department of Labor shows first-time jobless claim filings dropped by about 2,000 from the week before. That's better than what economists had predicted. Despite layoffs in tech, media, and the mortgage industry, there are still almost two jobs available per job seeker.
Hundreds of attorneys are volunteering their time to give you free legal information tomorrow. WRAL and Five on Your Side's Attorneys on Call is tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go ahead and write this number down to get ahead of the game. 919-891-9779. You can call that number tomorrow to connect to one of hundreds of volunteer lawyers. Thousands of people call in during this event every year, so organize your information now, write your questions down, and call WRAL's Attorneys on Call Friday.
A year-long bridge closure in Raleigh is about to end. The contractor is hoping to finish the new Athens Drive Bridge over I-440 next week. The DOT says it hopes that it's open by next weekend. The new bridge is wider, taller, and features sidewalks. It's part of the larger I-440 widening project. That work continues into next year.
The State Ag Department is looking for its next Got to Be NC musical ambassador.
Who's never left home, who's never struck out to find. find a dream and a life of their own.
And Lo-Hi senior Reese Mayfield is among the finalists chosen from statewide competitions. They'll perform this weekend at the State Fairgrounds. Mayfield and the current musical ambassador, singer-songwriter Paige King Johnson, performed on our 9 a.m. newscast on Fox 50. The musical ambassador's job is to spread the mission of Got to Be NC through music. The first ever NC Ag Star Homegrown Talent Search Finals kick off Saturday, March 4th at 6 p.m. in the Carscott Building at the State Fairgrounds. Tickets are still available at eventbrite.com or at the building before the show. Next at noon, a new discovery in an ancient Egyptian pyramid. What can be determined by a hidden 30-foot long corridor?
Also, two of the brightest planets in our solar system appear to be right next to each other. How far apart are they really, though?
Plus, expanding Medicaid in North Carolina. We spell out the deal on which lawmakers have agreed.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
In Florida, a father is charged with the murders of four people, including his teenage daughter, at their Brevard County home. Officials say 36-year-old Domenico Gigante shot his 15-year-old daughter, Kiara Terwilliger, her mother, 35-year-old Constance, 65-year-old Glinda, and another man identified as 36-year-old Michael Watson. Two children, ages 6 and 9, were at the home, but they were not physically harmed. One of the children called an adult, who then called 911. Gigante is charged with four counts of first-degree murder and is in jail without bond. Newly unsealed search warrants reveal what investigators removed from the home of Brian Koberger. You may remember he's the man charged with killing four University of Idaho students. From dark-colored clothing to items with possible DNA on them to weapons, computers, and documents, investigators found dozens of items. The documents show the search revealed property belonging to the victims or their two surviving roommates and knives or other weapons.
And breaking news in the WRAL Live Center. Within the last 15 minutes, we learned the death toll from this deadly train crash in Greece now stands at 57. A passenger train and freight train collided at high speeds a couple of days ago. Now, rescue and recovery crews remain at this site going through that wreckage. This is video from that scene as well. The station master was arrested and the country's transport minister resigned. We should also note that a number of university students were on that passenger train coming back from vacation when that crash happened.
Leading soccer figures raised more than $44 million in one day for the victims of Turkey's earthquakes. The fundraising telethon was aired live on Turkish television as well as many digital media channels. Famous soccer players and managers joined the televised fundraiser called the Shoulder to Shoulder fundraising campaign. It's still up and running until June 15th. A new discovery was uncovered behind the main entrance of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Egyptian officials say they found a hidden 30-foot-long corridor inside. Since 2015, the Scan Pyramids project has been using scan and endoscope technology to peer inside the pyramid. Officials believe this unfinished corridor was likely built to relieve some of the weight of the pyramid, either on the main entrance or another still undiscovered chamber. The Great Pyramid was built as a tomb around 2560 BC.
More people are getting back outdoors and enjoying some of the nation's best parks. The National Park Service released its top 10 destinations for 2022, and Blue Ridge Parkway tops the list at number one, followed by Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Great Smoky Mountains Park, which straddles North Carolina and Tennessee, came in at number three. Gateway National Recreation Area in New Jersey, number four. And rounding out the top five is the Lincoln Memorial in our nation's capital. We now know the best dates to visit Washington, D.C. if you want to see the cherry blossoms. The National Park Service says peak bloom is expected between March 22nd and 25th. Experts say it was difficult to determine when it would happen this year because an unseasonably warm winter prevented the trees from ever reaching full dormancy. This does line up with last year, though. Peak bloom happened on March 25th. So plan your trip. Residents in one California neighborhood have to alter their travel plans after a giant sinkhole opened up on the street. Video shows a fallen vehicle flipped upside down in Santa Paula, California. We're told no one was inside the vehicle. Road crews closed the area to work on repairs.
Three, two, one. Engines full power. And liftoff of Crew 6. Go Dragon, go Falcon.
A crew of four astronauts is on its way to the International Space Station this morning after launching from Cape Canaveral overnight. The rocket took off from Kennedy Space Center 12:35 this morning. The SpaceX crew, made up of two NASA astronauts, a Russian cosmonaut, and an astronaut from the United Arab Emirates, will all spend 6 months on the ISS. They're expected to dock early tomorrow morning. The launch was originally scheduled for Monday, but was scrapped because of a clogged rocket filter. Two of the brightest planets in our solar system appeared right next to each other overnight. Jupiter and Venus appeared very close as they passed each other in what's called a conjunction. From Earth, the distance between the two planets appeared to be about the width of your pinky finger. Pretty close. But in reality, they're over 400 million miles apart. The next full moon will occur Tuesday, March 7th, and that evening, Venus, Jupiter, and Mars will all be visible in the night sky. I saw that two nights ago. Last night, you couldn't see anything.
I know. It was way too cloudy, yeah. Right? And we still have a lot of cloud cover out there now and a lull in the rain, but we have more rain coming. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Super Weather Center. It's nice to have a little bit of a break right now, certainly. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar, and there's a little bit of light patchy rain that's down here to the south and east, and you can see back to the west, there's more of it. Definitely more on the way. A cold front is sinking south across the area right now. It's going to settle near the South Carolina line and help to produce some rain there later on this evening. Well, zoom in and you can see that little shower move from Smithfield back over toward Fremont. It moved through Four Oaks and down south toward Goldsboro and on to the south. Just a tiny little shower there. Other than that, we're looking at fairly dry conditions across the area currently. We take a look at Futurecast and we just continue to see waves of rain coming through. This version of Futurecast showing some showers redeveloping by about 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, it looks like it's going to be a wet commute. It was a wet commute this morning, of course, and there were a lot of accidents. So we could see the same thing again this evening. More rain in our southern counties. We didn't see a lot of that this morning. It was fairly dry in Fayetteville and Clinton, but as we get through tonight, we'll start to see the rainfall totaling up there. We'll take a look at what some of the totals were from this morning coming up in just a little while. We take a look down Fayetteville Street toward the Capitol building, and the streets are damp, but we've had a little bit of a break from the rain for the last several hours, and it's allowed our temperatures to start to climb too, looking at 65 degrees right now, but it's damp out there. Our dew point is at 60. That's not really a summer dew point, but definitely a dew point where we're showing a lot of moisture in the atmosphere. We'll likely climb into the low 70s later on this afternoon, and then more rain will start to roll in, and that'll probably put a cap on any more heating of the afternoon. 66 in Fayetteville, 65 Clinton and Goldsboro, 61 degrees in Roxborough right now. And our temperatures this afternoon will most likely end up in the low to mid 70s, looking at 76 in Fayetteville and Clinton, and low 70s for Roxborough, South Hill, Rocky Mount, and Wilson. Our warmer than normal continues, warmer than normal temperatures continue. Our normal highs in the upper 50s right now, and we'll be well above that for the next 5 days, 72 today, 70 Friday, 68 Saturday, 68 Sunday, 67 Sunday, and 71 on Monday. So the warmth continues. It is going to be a nice, bright day on Saturday, and on Sunday we'll see plenty of sunshine. We have some mild temperatures that remain in our forecast. It will be a little bit chilly on Sunday and Monday morning with temperatures in the low 40s, but we do keep it well above freezing, and we're back to 70s again Monday and Tuesday. We'll see some more rain on Friday, and I'm going to go over the timeline for Friday's rain hour by hour and show you our potential for severe storms, which I feel like is pretty minimal at this point, but we'll check it out in just a little while. And of course, we have another round of rain on Tuesday. It is, you know, officially meteorological spring, and the forecast definitely looks like it, doesn't it? It will feel like it. Elizabeth, thanks. This afternoon at 4, there's now a new drug for those with progressive vision loss. A Duke doctor helped lead that effort. See how it may help millions of adults stay active and keep their eyesight.
Plus, Duke Energy proposes a 16% rate increase for some areas. What people are saying about it and why the company says it needs the price hike. That's tonight at 5:30. Meantime, still ahead this noon, electrical stimulation in the upper spine could help stroke victims regain mobility in their arms and hands. Later, we'll take a look at the groundbreaking research.
Also, miss too many car payments and kiss your vehicle goodbye. The investment one automaker is making in the future of car repossessions.
Gray skies over Clinton this noon right now, and looks like those streets are a little bit wet still from that rain as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. KFC is bringing back a fan favorite, and TikTok is setting limits on screen time. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
TikTok plans to set a one-hour daily limit on screen time for users under 18. The app plans to make the limit a default setting, but teens will be able to turn it off. If the 60-minute limit is reached, users will be prompted to enter a passcode. So it's an effort to have users make an active decision on whether to spend more time on the app. The move by TikTok is seen as one of the most aggressive yet by a social media platform to prevent teens from endlessly scrolling. Netflix is set to raise the curtain on a Stranger Things play. The theatrical production will premiere in London this year. It's the first live stage production from Netflix. Stranger Things is one of the streaming giant's most successful franchises. The play is seen as a way to build on the show's success and keep fans as Netflix subscribers long-term. KFC is bringing back a fan favorite after almost 10 years. The Double Down will be back on the menu March 6th for a limited time. It's a sandwich without bread. Instead, KFC uses two fried chicken fillets as the bun. In between the chicken are two slices of cheese and bacon and a sauce or mayo. The Double Down debuted in 2010 but then disappeared before coming back briefly in 2014. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site.
Ford is looking to the future. The motor company is applying for a patent that allows self-driving cars to drive away from owners. Ford hopes this plan will allow them to slow down a car's functionality in cases where owners are behind on their payments. This includes disabling climate control or making the audio system play a, quote, unpleasant sound when someone is in the car. And if the missed payments continue, Ford proposes that they will force the car to drive itself to a repossession agency, locking out the owner completely.
DoorDash and Chase are launching a new no-fee credit card. The DoorDash Rewards MasterCard focuses on raising sales for local businesses while giving customers perks. Credit card users who order food through DoorDash's delivery app will get 4% cash back. And they'll also get cash back on dining, grocery shopping, and other sales. People who sign up for the new card will get a year of free Dash Pass. Join WRL as we celebrate and support our amazing local arts community during the third annual Big Night In for the Arts. That will be Thursday, March 9th, featuring performances by Tony Award winner Beth Level, fusion folk artists Larry and Joe, social media dance superstars Costin Mayer, plus a live performance from Grammy-nominated country artist Reese Palmer. Watch, donate, and celebrate the arts. That's next Thursday, March 9th at 7 on WRL and wherever you stream WRL.
A major deal at the state capitol. Lawmakers reach a middle ground to expand health care for the working poor. How the agreement could also open the door for nearly $2 billion in federal funding.
Also, a man accused of trying to take explosives onto a flight is now in FBI custody. What we've learned about his past and how the device was discovered. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We want to take you back to the breaking news we first reported at the start of this newscast. Top lawmakers in the state have finally reached an agreement on expanding Medicaid. About a half million North Carolinians would receive insurance under the deal. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie lays out the plan for us. Laura.
Jeff, you know, North Carolina is one of just 11 states that have not yet expanded Medicaid, and it appears that that may be changing. Speaker Moore called it a huge announcement, and that's true. After nearly a year of negotiations, legislative leaders say they have reached a deal to bring Medicaid expansion to North Carolina. Now, under that deal, the state will accept billions of federal dollars a year to cover 90% of the health care costs for low-income people. That's up to about 133% of the poverty line. The deal includes major changes to state regulations that control how many new facilities and hospital beds health care providers can add on to their budgets. House Speaker Tim Moore said a lot of details still have to be worked out, like the effective date.
And at the end of the day, what we know is we're going to have a legislation, we're going to have a policy that is going to expand access to working North Carolinians, that is going to ensure that there is a more robust supply of a lot of these services that is going to result in less cost, but at the same time, vitally important to protect access to health care, particularly in our rural areas.
Yeah, that deal means that the state will get up to $60 million a year to help keep the doors open at rural hospitals and hospitals with high percentages of patients who can't pay for care. It will also give the state a bonus payment of $1.5 billion this year, $800 million a year after this, that the state can use for anything it wants. Now, there is one catch to today's announcement. It won't be effective until this year's budget is enacted sometime this summer. Senate leader Phil Berger said that's necessary because so much money is going to affect the state's spending plan. But it'll also make it a lot harder for the governor to veto any given budget. In a statement today, Cooper said he praised today's news, but he urged Berger and Moore to make this effective immediately.
Laura Leslie, live at the state legislature for us. And Laura, as you know, we broke this story for you on WRL.com, where right now you can also watch the full press conference. We will continue to update this story throughout the day with new reaction as it comes out. State of Tennessee could become the first state to restrict drag performances in 2023. The state Senate passed a bill along party lines yesterday to limit adult cabaret performances on public property. Violators would face a misdemeanor and repeat offenders with a felony. The governor has said he will sign that bill, and once signed, the law would go into effect July 1st.
This morning, the State Board of Education met to discuss a plan to overhaul how teachers get and keep their license in North Carolina. This could all take a step forward. This has been in the works for years. And there are still things missing from the plan, including how teachers will be assessed. That could be decided today. State lawmakers have the final say on the plan. The new program could launch as soon as this fall. It may soon be a requirement for community college students to take a class on North Carolina history and government to get their degree. House lawmakers will consider the idea today. A new bill would require a 3-credit-hour course focused on topics like the Constitution, the Emancipation Proclamation, and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. If it passes, the rule would take effect next year.
New information this noon about a serious scare at a Pennsylvania airport. A man was arrested, accused of trying to bring explosives onto a plane. NBC's Emily Iketa reports it's just one of 3 major incidents involving planes in the past 24 hours.
Overnight, chaos and fear in the sky after 2 airlines made emergency landings.
At times, the Airbus A330 experienced extreme turbulence.
7 people were taken to the hospital after a Lufthansa flight traveling from Texas to Germany experienced significant turbulence and had to land at a Washington airport.
The plane completely just like dropped and everything, all the food and everything just flew everywhere. And it was pretty scary, honestly, for a little bit.
Earlier in the day, a Spirit Airlines flight flying from Dallas to Orlando was also diverted after a battery in an overhead bin caught on fire.
All of a sudden, just a ton of smoke came out. So I yelled fire a few times.
Frightening moments ensued as the cabin quickly filled with smoke. But thanks to quick reaction from those on board, the fire was extinguished and the plane landed safely in Jacksonville, Florida.
There was a retired fireman that jumped up and a flight crew came in. They got it put out. The flight crew did a really nice job.
10 people were transported to the hospital, according to the Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Department. It comes amid a serious scare at a Pennsylvania airport after authorities say a man who is now detained tried to bring an explosive device on board an Allegiant airplane heading to Orlando. According to federal officials, 40-year-old Mark Muffley checked a suitcase at Lehigh Valley International Airport Monday morning that contained a combustible device. About an hour later, when TSA agents screened the bag, it set off alarms. According to charging documents, agents found a circular compound containing a granular type of powder often used in commercial-grade fireworks. Authorities say the device, which was found hidden in the lining of the suitcase, also contains several fuses. The FBI was called to the scene and part of the airport was evacuated. Investigators say surveillance cameras captured this picture of Muffley leaving the airport just after being paged to come to the security office.
That was Emily Iketa reporting. Court records show Mark Muffley has had numerous scrapes with the law in the past 2 decades, including in March 2022 when he pleaded guilty to charges of disorderly conduct and fighting.
The now viral ChatGPT is about to become even more present on the internet. The creator of ChatGPT is opening up access to the tool to other businesses. Businesses such as Snap, Quizlet, and Instacart are looking to use the chatbot to offer more accessibility. Analysts say companies are eager to use the new tech in order to stay ahead of competitors. Garner residents will have the chance to ask questions about the town's new downtown social district at a community meeting tonight. Town leaders will answer questions from 5 until 6 this evening. Swing by 120 East Main Street to learn more about the new social district. Garner is the latest town to join Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville offering social districts, which allow people to drink alcoholic beverages outdoors at participating businesses during certain hours.
About half the people who suffer a stroke end up with weaker muscles or paralysis. We'll explain how a new device works to help stroke survivors regain movement.
Plus, the new research that points to a vitamin supplement you can take to help ward off dementia. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRAL News app.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, I want to take you to this new video just into our newsroom. We've just been able to confirm that Kinley police are working on a death investigation at this petrol truck stop. This is off I-95. Again, this is brand new video into our newsroom. Right now, Kinley police are on the scene. Johnson County deputies are on the scene. That truck is surrounded by crime scene tape. You see all those tools sitting there. Right now, in terms of our crew being on the scene, they're telling us that possibly the truck driver was working on this truck and something happened that caused the truck to actually back over and crush that particular truck driver. Again, we're working to find out to get more information about this incident. Look for updates online in our news starting at 4 here on WRAL.
Ken, thanks. Strokes are one of the leading causes of paralysis in adults, according to the CDC. Marianne Rafferty explains how electrical stimulation in the upper spine could help stroke survivors regain mobility in their arms and hands.
The results of a groundbreaking experiment are providing hope for stroke survivors suffering from a loss of mobility. Roughly 800,000 people in the U.S. have a stroke every year, according to the CDC. About half wind up with permanent muscle weakness and even paralysis. Heather Rindulik is one of them, losing most of the function in her left arm and hand.
You don't realize how many things you need two hands for until you only have one good one.
So she volunteered for a cutting-edge research project with staff from the University of Pittsburgh. Doctors implanted an electrical device in her upper back, which sent signals to the spot on her spinal cord responsible for controlling her arms and hands.
And I let it go!
As soon as the simulation turned on, they are immediately able to do things they couldn't do before.
They had me open and close my hands, and I was doing it in a way that I hadn't done since my stroke, and we all were in tears crying.
Previous studies used electric signals to trigger lower portions of a stroke survivor's spine to improve leg and foot function. But researchers say little work has been done to stimulate the upper spine and correct arm and hand movements because the process is more difficult.
That is amazing. That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. The device in Heather Rendulik's back was only temporary, but with more funding, researchers are hoping to work with more stroke survivors.
A little sunlight a day may keep dementia away. A new study shows vitamin D can be beneficial to preventing or delaying dementia. Researchers in Canada and Britain studied a group of more than 12,000 people. Those who took the vitamin D supplements had a 40% decrease in dementia detection. Researchers say clinical trials will need to be held before they can confirm the connection.
I grabbed his middle finger and that is how I pulled him up and we got him up there. He was kind of heavy too, honey. I got him though.
Teenage sisters are being celebrated for their heroic actions, how they saved two small children who fell into an icy pond.
Plus, a new method could help reunite pet owners with their lost pets. The company says it could signal the end of N2 invasive microchips.
Two little kids in Iowa are alive and well thanks to the quick thinking of a pair of teenagers.
The kids were playing on a frozen pond behind an apartment building when they fell through the ice. Laura Terrell introduces us to the teens who sprang into action.
We're the house right above the pink chairs. and they were right past this tree right here.
Sisters Jasmine and Ja'Cora Morris were scrolling through TikTok when they happened to look out their third-story window at the right time.
I immediately screamed, "They're drowning, they're drowning." And then me and my sister, we ran downstairs. The dog chased us. We were falling down the stairs to get back here.
I just stopped what I was doing. I just got up, and I was just running out. And I was just in shoes, shorts, and a tank top.
Jumping into the icy water, the Morris sisters didn't hesitate for a second.
I'm numb, so those kids, they've been in there longer than me. They've got to be numb. At some point, they were going to just stop moving. And I didn't want them to just stop moving. So it was just, come on, just get them out. You can get out later. Just get them out. That's all I was thinking. Just get the kids, get the kids. As long as they make it, they're like 7 or 8. It's like, just get them. You've lived long enough. Just get them.
One boy trapped underneath the ice had only a finger above the surface.
I grabbed his middle finger, and that is how I pulled him up. And we got him up there. He was kind of heavy, too, honey. I got him, though.
17-year-old Ja'Cora and 15-year-old Jasmine turned into heroes in seconds.
You could see the relief and the happiness that he was out the water, and both of them were safe.
The rescue happening so fast, medics didn't get there until it was over.
I was amazed. Not many children would drop what they're doing, or adults, and just run out and wade into water up to their shoulders to pull two other kids out.
The girl's mom, Jacqueline Morris, now says all those years of swimming lessons paid off.
I'm very proud. I really don't have the words to say, because every time I'm like, wow, those were my girls.
But they don't want praise. The girls are just overjoyed at the outcome.
I'm just happy they're okay.
But what did you learn about yourself through all this?
Then I have quick reaction skills. And when I have a sense to just look up and do something, I need to look up.
Those skills saved lives. That was Laura Terrell reporting. The city of West Des Moines plans to recognize the sisters with a life-saving award at a later date. The praise will keep coming.
Yeah, that's so cool. And they said they look up and jumped into action. I'm glad they weren't so engrossed in the TikTok and, right, you know, just not paying attention. So they
those
did
swim
thing.
Lessons paid off, and uh-huh, stay off those icy ponds. Not that we have to worry about ice here.
No, just rain and expanding trouble as we look at this map, Elizabeth.
So this is a look at our severe weather threat for tomorrow. This is an update that just came in from the Storm Prediction Center. We had a level one risk from the Triangle area back up here to the north and west, and then down to the south. Now it's expanded to cover pretty much the entire state. But the level two risk was a little closer to us. There's a little sliver of Chatham County and Moore County that were in that level two risk. So the Storm Prediction Center backed that up closer to the mountains, but expanded the level one risk across our area. It looks like our potential, as it is just a level one risk, is fairly minor. And it would look like maybe tomorrow evening when the cold front comes through, when we had the best chance of seeing those scattered thunderstorms. Here's a look at what's happening right now on the radar. Really, really quiet. We do have some rain that's back here to the west of Greensboro, and that's going to come swinging through. But we had a little shower earlier between, say, Four Oaks and Goldsboro, and you can see that's dissipated. We do have gray skies. We had a little bit of a hole in the clouds earlier. We could see a peak of sunshine, but don't expect to see a whole lot of that. How much rain have we seen so far? Our southern counties have just seen a trace, but from, say, Sanford to Clayton, we've seen in the blue shaded areas up to half an inch, and there are a few pockets in Wake County and back over toward Orange and Durham counties, where we've seen almost 3/4 of an inch. And we're still going to add some to that tomorrow. So all total, we'll probably end up with 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch by the time we see all the rain moving out tomorrow. Goldsboro looking gray, as well as Apex, Chapel Hill, the view from Top of the Hill restaurant, and of course Durham in front of the newsroom. We're looking at some wet sidewalks there. Here's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom, and the sidewalk there looks pretty dry. We just haven't seen as much rain there, but that will change this evening. Our cold front will continue to sink southward and help to bring us a better chance for rain there. There's our front, and that front moves south, and we start to see some more rain redeveloping between 3 and 5 o'clock. It does look like it's going to be a fairly wet commute for tonight, and you know what that means. It means plans, some extra time. It's probably going to take longer to get where you're headed this evening. And then that rain continues overnight, but starts to push back to the north. Tomorrow morning, our best chance of rain will be from the Triangle area northward, similar to what we saw this morning, but I wouldn't expect to see thunderstorms. And then we'll have a fairly long, mostly dry period. And then once we get past the evening commute, the cold front comes in. Right here, that's where we could see a few scattered thunderstorms moving through. We're finished with that close to midnight, and then we begin to clear out. So once again, for tomorrow, we do have that level one risk for severe storms across our area, and that is an update from the Storm Prediction Center. We're doing pretty well with rainfall. We do have just a small sliver of Sampson County that is still abnormally dry, but we've had enough rain lately that we're not having to worry too much about it. The yellow colors are where we're a little bit below normal for rainfall, but not much. We've seen pretty much 80% of our normal rainfall for the bulk of the viewing area. Saturday and Sunday are looking pretty with some sunshine, and our next chance of rain past tomorrow comes next Tuesday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Air Jordans are preparing to soar to new heights. Coming up, we'll explain how the brand could set a new record.
But first, here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. One person in North Carolina is $50,000 richer. So make sure to check your ticket.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Top North Carolina lawmakers have agreed on Medicaid expansion. The announcement is the latest step toward expanding health care to the state's working poor. It comes after months of negotiations. It's not known yet when people will be able to start signing up for insurance, but it likely won't be for months.
The defense has rested its case in the murder trial of disgraced South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch. He's charged with killing his wife and son. Arguments were briefly delayed as a juror had to be excused and replaced with an alternate for violating the judge's orders and talking about the case with people outside of the jury.
A family in Clayton is okay after lightning struck their home and started a fire overnight. It happened on Marcellus Way around 5 a.m. The family escaped unharmed. There were no fire hydrants nearby, so firefighters blocked the street to run a hose from a tanker truck. That fire was under control by 6:30 this morning. Air Jordans are known as the most popular shoe brand of all time, and now an auction house plans to fly to new records with the Dynasty Collection. Sotheby's is preparing to sell six pairs of shoes worn by Michael Jordan during six different NBA championship games. The shoes are referred to as the Holy Grail of sneakers. They've been compared to the Mona Lisa. Although the official value of the shoes has not been released, they are expected to sell for up to $100 million.
From sneakers to clogs, Hello Kitty and Crocs are partnering up for a new design. The Crocs will include images of Hello Kitty and friends, and you can even personalize these with new charms. So the shoes will cost between $45 to $60. The Hello Kitty Crocs are already available on the store's website.
A South Korean company believes their technology will someday replace microchips, tags, and collars for pets. The PetNow app allows dog and cat owners to register the face of their pets. Just as humans have fingerprints, every dog and cat has its own unique nose prints. Look at these. The company says the app could help notify the owner if the pet is lost simply by taking a picture. That app boasts 98.97% accuracy. You don't have to have that little surgery to put the chip in the microchip. Yeah,
so nice. Well, our pet of the day was surrendered to the SPCA of Wake County after he was spooked and turned on his owner. 13-year-old Bo is incredibly friendly, has had no issues at the SPCA whatsoever. He welcomes visitors with warmth and love, and he's content to hang out with anyone he meets. He's a little bit on the heavier side, 18 pounds, so a diet will be in order. Bo's adoption fee is $45. It includes his neuter, microchip, and cat vaccines. Contact SPCAWake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Breaking news updates anytime, as you know, on our news app.